Shanahan, the curator and director of the Westport Country Playhouse radio series. And when I realized that this edition of our series would fall on Halloween, I knew immediately who we should turn to write our next episode. Richie Henry is an accomplished actor, but he is also a Halloween and horror movie maven. We're so happy to have Richie join us to talk about the challenges of writing for radio, as well as what it's like being the star of his very own piece. Richie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's actually been a thrill to sort of have this adventure handed to me by you and the Westport Country Playhouse. Like, wow.
I knew right away, I have to say, that when I realized that this slot was going to land on Halloween, I thought, wow, we have the perfect person to write this one, because you are a horror movie maven and you are just an expert in all things Halloween. You love Halloween. Is this an idea that you've been sitting on for a while, and how did you come up with it?
I enjoy the attempts at found footage horror films that you see a lot now, the Paranormal Activity series, and the first Paranormal Activity is great, and mostly I'm inspired by these filmmakers who it was their first thing and they did it with no budget, and I've been toying with the idea of dabbling in that world and writing a low budget horror film and what could you do with no money, you know? And so when you presented this radio show to me, I thought, oh, how could we play with the found footage concept for a radio, for an audio experience?
Let me ask you, as a writer, I was just in love with how you came up with the voice for Jeff, and also the kind of show he did and the sense of humor you have in it. What are the joys and challenges of writing, though, for radio in an acoustic medium?
Oh, well, these guys who actually do this ghost capture work, these EVP work, they all have real jobs. You know, they tend to be blue collar. There was a show called Ghost Hunters, you know, on Sci-Fi Channel, and they're all plumbers by day, and they spend a lot of time in creepy old basements. And so it was, you know, like a no brainer for them to have the equipment to see down there, to hear down there, and they have camera equipment for going into pipes and things like that. So they're going around with ghost hunting equipment kind of anyway, you know? So the notion of them being just real human beings who are curious about the other side and have access to this equipment through their day jobs was very interesting to me, that these guys just sort of stumbled into, exploring the supernatural, going to these old houses, fixing their plumbing, and then being told these ghost stories by the people who live there, and then deciding to sort of spend the night and investigate.
One of the things that I love about Jeff is the relationship he has with his audience, how he speaks to them as if they're friends, that they're all on the same page, how his detractors bother him. And another thing that I also loved about it is how you how seriously he takes it and how much he wants to believe in something. And of course, be careful what you wish for. My sense of every draft that you sent me was you were enjoying coming up with the way in which you leaned into the medium of radio, in which you asked people to consider what it is to listen to something. So even as I listen to it now, I was thinking, my God, just the way you take your time, how silence is valuable. We wonder what you're looking at, what you're doing in there. And so as an actor, I think our audience would get a kick out of knowing is I enjoyed directing it, because I would sit there on the computer watching you and in front of your microphone acting this out as if you were really in a haunted house, banging yourself against the walls, opening doors, looking terrified. It was a heck of a performance to watch you do into a microphone. Your imaginary circumstances were real. What was it like acting your own work?
Well, it's interesting, because I knew what was coming that morning when we were going to do the recording. I didn't know how involved I was going to get with it. I knew where it needed to go emotionally as an actor. But as we were doing it, I was like, oh, wow. I have to really do this now. I have to act this out in this recording studio with a microphone. Like I there was a piece of me that knew it was going to happen. Then all of a sudden I was like, well, this is totally absurd and wonderful at the same time. Like, here I am. I'm just going to pretend I'm going through a haunted mental asylum and really have to give it my all, you know, a cinematic performance for the radio.
Well, all good actors, you know, need a touch of madness, I think. And it was really such a pleasure to watch you put it together. And you know, our audience might be interested to know that our actors are always recording remotely and from different locations. And then our incredible sound designer, John Gramata, pieces these performances together to make it sound like the actors are together in the same location, in the same time, interacting with each other. And as you hear it back, and as John added all the sound effects and created this sound of the EVPs, is that what you hoped it would sound like? And where did it take you when you heard it for the first time, what John was doing with it?
Well, as I was putting it together, I didn't really think about how difficult it might be for John Gramata to create all these locations and all these different sound effects. And if you listen to real EVPs, ghost recordings, some of them are completely indecipherable. So we did have to take some dramatic license. And John, I think, does a beautiful job of walking that line where the voices have to be audible, but also creepy and scratchy and lots of reverb and stuff. And so the design is beautiful, and it really goes, it takes us to the different locations, and you feel, you hear the water drips and all that stuff, it's a tipping of the hat to the days of old where they had thunder sheets, you know, giant sheets of metal, you know, shaking them up to create thunder, and that rolling thing that sounds like wind, you know, like the digital version of that still has a link back to the old timey ways of doing audio and Foley work for radio.
Richie, I have to ask you, for a while now, you post something on social media and you are fascinated with the macabre, anything Halloween or a horror movie. What is it about ghost stories and horror that attracts you so? Why are you so into it all? I love it.
Well, the irony is that people assume that I love roller coasters. Because they're terrifying, and that is false. I'm absolutely terrified of heights and falling, but what a roller coaster does is brings you to the closest experience to death you can have without actually dying. And horror films do that too. I feel like they take you to this place where it's like, this is as close as you're going to get to having a supernatural experience, to knowing that all of this stuff is true, or these terrifying supernatural creatures are actually out there, and you're safe in your home watching television, or you're safe in a movie theater and all of it is fiction.
It's what I guess romantically is called a pleasing terror, as they say, right? I have to ask you though, I just want to know, have you actually ever had a ghostly experience where you've seen or felt or heard something that you couldn't explain?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I had terrible bouts of asthma, and I would have situations where my fever would get so high, we would have to put me in an ice bath. During that time, I would see this shadow creature that would peek around the corner of my bedroom with these long, pointy, shadow fingernails. And I remember screaming for my mom and telling her that he was there, that there was something on the other side of that door. And it creeped her out too, but I still see it in my head, what I saw as a child. Now, whether or not that was death coming for a child with 104 fever, I'll never know. But to my little, you know, 8-year-old or 7-year-old brain, that was death coming for me, and I believed it at that time. And it was probably just a fever-induced hallucination in the end, but it felt as real as anything, you know, in our current, you know, universe.
Well, all I know is that sounds like the makings of another great radio show down the pipe.
Yeah.
Fodder for a good story. I hope you'll write it for us, too. Richie, I've known you as a great actor. I've known you now as a tremendous writer and also a wonderful collaborator. We're so proud that we're being able to present your show, Specters and Spirits.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been a great opportunity.
Now, before we go, I wanted to take a moment to celebrate the illustrious history of the Westport Country Playhouse, which celebrates its 90th anniversary this year. Originally, the Playhouse was built as a tannery in the early 1800s, and then it was a barn. And then in 1931, Lawrence Langer made the old structure the Playhouse. Though it's been refurbished over the years, there's a lot of history in the place. If you've ever been to the Playhouse, you've probably seen some of the posters on the walls bearing the names of the many illustrious actors who have appeared on our stage. And in preparing for this episode of the Playhouse Radio Theater, I asked a few members of the staff if they've ever seen or heard anything unexplainable at the Playhouse. After all, theaters are famous for a good ghost sighting, right? And then I received an email from a fellow named Randy Blair, who worked in the wardrobe department in the 1990s through early 2000s. And he told me the following. He writes, "One evening, as I was going about my duties, I kept hearing footsteps coming from up the stairs and what I thought was the stage door shutting. I yelled out to see if some of the other crew were still in the building, but I got no response. I dismissed it and went on about my duties and then heard it again. I thought I'd better go check to see if someone left a door open or if someone was wandering about. I then went up to the stage level and ventured out onto the stage using the light from the ghost light, a light left on each night, looking to see if someone was in the house area. I noticed a bit of movement coming from the balcony area on the house right side, and as I held my hand above my eyes to shield the light coming from on stage, I thought I saw a faint image of a man sitting in the balcony. I yelled, 'Can I help you?' but got no response. I shifted positions and started to repeat my question, but the form or shape had disappeared. So I shook it off and went back to work downstairs. But this happened on several more occasions. As I became intrigued that this might be a theater ghost, I decided to explore the possibility. One evening, I sat on the edge of the stage when the form was apparent, just staring at the stage, and I began talking to it for some signal of who it might be. I never got a response other than the form would rise and appear to pace back and forth a bit, and then sit again. But based on the history of the old barn, I always wondered if it was a worker from the tannery days that may have had an accident, or a theatrical person related to the early days of the playhouse being established. The form was never clear enough to establish a type of clothing, but it did seem to be male. The playhouse was then renovated and reconfigured, and in that first season of the new playhouse, I never felt the presence again. But I'm curious if anyone else who has ever visited the playhouse has had an encounter with the man in the balcony. And so, the next time you visit us at the playhouse, keep your eyes and ears open, and let us know if you see anything just a little haunting. Thanks for joining us, and happy Halloween."
This is Mark Lamus, Artistic Director of the Westport Country Playhouse, thanking you for joining us.